then, Richard?
Yeah, what were you doing?
I was doing the high bits.
You're doing a wall of sound.
That was the Style Council, of course.
Angry. Mm. Paul Weller out the front. The wall tumbling down. At the back, the other bloke in a blazer playing a piano. He was the very essence of political anger, that bloke.
What was his name?
I'm not sure. I'm not
Mick Talbot. I think that? You'll find there's our pathetic trivia fact of the day.
Get this, by the way, myself, Tony Martin.
No. Should I say secondary school teacher Tony Martin? Mm-hmm.
That is absolutely false.
We've got aged carer Ed Cavalier.
That is absolutely false as well.
And also benefiting from the budget itinerant sex worker Richard Marsland.
Equally, absolutely false.
I'm not sure if there was anything in the budget for itinerant sex workers. I just wanted to say that.
How did they go, Rich? Itinerant sex workers, how did they go this year?
Better than usual, actually. Better than usual.
Cool.
This new budget, yeah.
Yeah.
Because they're in marginal seats, mostly.
Richard's got a conspiracy. Here, you don't hear it.
Yeah, marginal seats. Now, I'm sure you were sitting at home with all your young friends, Ed, just YouTubing the budget.
Oh, man.
Over and over again.
See, what I did after work is I went home and I watched every budget that Costello had done from when he started. So for me, it was like one long continuous budget until he started last night.
And had someone cut it to Rage Against the Machine music?
No.
And then put in a few cats living in the seats?
YouTubers, if you're out there, I'm trying to watch the 1986 World Cup final. Mm. You know, I don't want Labouche to be my lover put underneath it.
Just leave it as it was.
Hey, we're going to talk about this today because you have had a lot of success with this.
Hello. Yeah, it's Squid.
Oh, 708 viewers, can't be wrong.
Everyone's jumping on the bandwagon.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that. But the budget, I mean, it's a tedious old view.
It is. Isn't it? But is it a big night in Canberra? Like, I'd imagine it's a lot of work to prepare and to nut out.
So I had a friend that would go each year.
Right.
He went to the he went down to Canberra for the budget, and he said it was one of the best parties of the year.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
Yeah, he said it was.
Costello is very happy with himself.
He
seems as if he's done a lot of work.
Yeah.
I'm sure he has. It seems. As many as 2 or 3 hours.
Yeah, it's just Ed living for about 7 minutes.
Yeah. But, you know, a lot of people don't watch it because it's dull and it can send you to sleep. But I find, if you listen to it closely, there's all kinds of other stuff going on in the background.
Really?
Now, this is a very poor recording. Have a listen to this.
I received a message from His Excellency the Governor General recommending, in accordance with Section 56 of the Constitution, an appropriation for the purposes of Appropriation Bill No. 1, 2007-2008. I call the Treasurer.
Speaker, I present the Appropriation Bill No. 1, 2007-2008.
Right. First reading, a bill for an act to appropriate money out of the Consolidated Revenue Fund for the ordinary annual services of the government and for related purposes.
The Honourable the Treasurer.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the bill now be read the second time.
First reading, a bill for an act to appropriate money out of the...
What? Oh, I'm sorry.
Mr. Speaker, Australia is different to the way it was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
We have another 2 million Australians who have found jobs since then.
Yeah.
And average wages have increased 20% in real terms.
Yeah.
In the decade before 1996, inflation averaged 5% a year. Tonight I announce, for the fifth year in a row, cuts to income tax. From 1 July this year, the 30% tax rate will only apply to income over $30,000. This means that low-income earners eligible for the offset will not pay tax until their annual income exceeds $11,000. Senior Australians who are eligible for the Senior Australians tax offset will now pay no tax on annual income up to $25,867 for singles and $43,360 for couples. Mr. Speaker, one of the great challenges we have is to maintain the beautiful, diverse and precious natural environment which we have in Australia. One of the serious long-term threats is global warming. Mr. Speaker, forests play a key role in reducing greenhouse gases. So
Anyway, tonight I announce the cost of establishing qualifying carbon sink forests will be tax deductible, with immediate deductibility for 5 years commencing on 1 July and concessional depreciation arrangements after that. Mr. Speaker, water is one of Australia's most precious resources. The government has a $10 billion national plan for water security intended to place rural water use on a sustainable footing, increasing efficiency in irrigation and addressing over-allocation of water. Tonight I announce funding over 6 years to support the installation of water tanks and other water-saving devices by schools and community organisations. We must capture as much of this precious resource as possible. We must use it carefully and we must use it wisely.
I just think, you know, prize music is the way to sell a budget. All right, that's enough. I don't want to hear any more about that budget.
No, I don't want to hear the words, I can still see it, ever again.
Yes, we've heard it before. Wolf Mother, it's Get This Around the Nation on Triple M. Brought to you by Nissan Navara with more pulling power. It's the blokiest truck out there.
Oh, no, it's not, says Labour.
Enough, Bongiorno.
Bongiorno?
John Bongiorno.
Talking for Look at that happening. During the song, somebody, a very nice man, called in and said that he enjoyed the sketch.
Yeah.
And, Cecilia came in and told us, to which Tony replied,
did he say anything about the music levels? I think they're a bit low.
People are calling in.
They're still calling.
Oh, you sketch. They're not too low, Matt.
Matt will be offended now down the
line. All levels nuts out there. It's hard getting the levels right because it's in mono, you think.
I know, I know.
For the tech heads out there.
Okay.
All right, let's move on.
By the way, I know we weren't going to mention the budget again.
Yeah.
There's a great moment if you've got it on tape. If you're doing a comedy show on the telly and you're looking for some budget gear,
yeah.
I think it's about halfway through. That guy McGoran, sitting behind Costello, starts to yawn, realizes he's on telly, and tries to make it look like, oh, just swallowing something.
Oh, really?
I'm not actually yawning.
This air is making me full.
A bug has flown into my mouth. But you can actually see him literally shitting himself on tape.
Now, I don't have anything written down for this break. What does that mean?
Luckily, that means it's time for a new segment called TV Week or Cavalry.
Oh, great. You've got the letters page out.
I got the letters page out here.
All right,
and what we've got, so... Now, off-air, Rich said, what do you need for this?
Yeah.
And I said, I don't know. So, Rich, we need some kind of theme music for this to start with.
Yeah.
So you get that ready while I explain how it works.
Okay, good luck.
So the way it works is that, and then we'll need like a yes, you got it right, and a no, you got it wrong.
Yeah, that's not
pretty standard.
How about this for a theme song?
Here. Yep. You two have to guess which is which.
All right, you go first, Rick.
Are we ready? Ricardo Marzlandovich. So far, I'm loving the All-Stars edition of The Amazing Race. As I hope it's as good as the Family edition, which is also one of the best.
I believe that is actually in TV Week.
Yeah, correct. You are.
Sounds like someone would have made it up.
Yeah, a publicist.
But no, it's really in there.
All right, well done, Rich.
Okay,
Mr. Martin.
Yeah.
While in Australia, I found myself watching community TV and was very taken with a young academic known only as The Prof. When will he get his own show and swimsuit calendar, M. McConaughey?
They don't. They do not have publicists at community TV, so I'm suggesting that's pure cavalry.
That's me. Fair enough. All right, Ricardo Marzlino.
Yeah.
Bring back Springer. I wish Tim would bring back the Jerry Springer show. With all the trash that's on TV these days, what's one more tacky show? They still do shows like Big Brother and Pussycat Dolls and other lowbrow reality shows. Why can't they make room for Jerry?
I know that is actually in TV Week because I wrote that letter into them.
Yeah.
I'm glad that
the pseudonym Christine.
Hang on, reality shows are being bagged in that letter. So would they run something?
Ah, it's true. Controversial.
Yeah. Interesting.
Well, really, what do you go,
Rich? I reckon it is in there. I reckon.
You're absolutely right.
Controversial.
Tony.
Yes?
Get stuffed, ABC programming. Who does the cast of On the Buses have to screw to get on in prime time? I bail up people about this in car parks all the time, and they always agree.
Well, it sounds like something I would have written, but it wouldn't have been on the bucket. I would have mentioned space.
Would you?
Or I'm Alan Partridge.
With you.
Or Phoenix Nights. Or Brass Eye.
So.
Or all of the thousands of great British comedy shows they don't play because they don't have catchphrases like Catherine Tate and Little Britain. And we can't put them on oven mitts and sell them in our shops. They're just brilliant, brilliant shows we're never, ever going to screen because we hate you. That was my letter.
Correct.
Correct. When did the ABC become catchphrase comedy? Just put Dick Emery back on.
Put him on. Yeah, I know.
Are we going to air?
Sorry,
I think so. We were down in the lunchroom.
Finally, yep. Richard,
mm-hmm.
Thank you, Channel 10. Your amazing docudrama, Bondi Rescue, with the perfect mix of real-life drama and hot bods. I've now taken up surfing, if only to meet the lifeguards.
Oh, that's got to be real. That's in TV Week.
From our Marsland.
Absolutely right.
It's all true.
Well, that's it. That was pretty slick.
Really?
There was no cock-ups?
No.
You didn't read out your sandwich order by mistake? Something? What would it be like?
No, outro music.
Rich, outro music.
Come on. Let's get down there.
What do you got?
Let's get started.
We're getting all the good British comedy.
True.
I need this gun work. Blow my brains out.
Like we could play, you know,
in
the thick of it, or we could play Time Trumpet, or, you know, 15 Stories High. That'd be a great one to play.
Rich, you know how to fix a gun?
Oh, sorry. We are back on.
Microphones
are on. Blow my brains out.
Nikki Hamilton said something good, though. Our producer, she said probably the only reason they played extras is because it had that.
Are you having a laugh?
They actually like
criteria.
It's got a catchphrase.
Mm.
All right, I'm down off my high horse for the whole rest of the show.
Yeah.
Kids. What about the kids today?
What about the kids today?
Get this on Triple M, in case you're wondering, that was the police. The kids today are very blasé about stuff. Now, when I was a kid, anything could hurt you. Running on the lino, that was a potential murder.
Yeah.
Changing your face when...
See, if you hit a bubble in the lino at full speed...
That's right. It's just... Face into corner of bench. That's for guaranteed. Make a funny face, wind changes, stuff like that.
That way.
Everything was terrifying.
Yeah, that's what happened over here.
Nowadays, kids, they're off to see the Saw movies. Nothing frightening.
No big deal.
Imagine if you had a whole lot of spiders growing inside your head. Well, that'd be pretty horrible, wouldn't it?
That was one of the worst television programs I ever saw. What's Living Inside You?
Yeah.
And it was an hour. On Foxtel, just animals that lived inside your body.
See,
and how to get them out.
In my day, that'd be quite nasty to have spiders going in through your ear and living inside your head. But this kid in Oregon, he had that. Listen to what he says about it.
It was cool to have two spiders in my ear.
It was cool. He was in envy of the playground.
All his friends stuffing spiders into their ear. Guys trying to get cats in there to outdo him.
Kestrels.
Kestrels,
snow leopards. What can I get inside here?
We'll find out on Talkback Mountain.
Hey.
What's growing inside your head?
Yesterday we were talking about the worst song lyrics ever written. There was some sort of poll. I was nominating that Rihanna Umbrella song. A lot of people, someone on your MySpace page, Sean Crumpet.
Sean Crumpet.
Want to be regular?
Yeah, the crump gets on.
He loves this line from Van Halen's Why Can't This Be Love. Only time will tell if we stand the test of time.
It's a corker.
Ali sent in... lyrics from The Masters' Lover Boy, all-time classic, Working for the Weekend. You want a piece of my heart? You got to start from the start.
Yeah. That was a good one.
He's right.
Yeah, I like a bit of Lover Boy.
Turn Me Loose.
That was a good one.
Yep.
Don't know what you're talking about.
That'll be coming around.
Niles Barkley, Crazy.
Yeah.
Great song. Amazing song. But there's that funny lyric where he goes, well, who do you think you're fooling? Bless your soul.
Yeah.
And you look at the lyrics and there's, ha ha ha, bless your soul. And it's
Henry. Just check this. He's sold it from my text.
People laugh, ha ha ha.
I'm telling you, that's how that guy used to laugh.
He'd be in the studio audience of a TV show and you could pick him out.
Oh, the guy from my text.
This is him. Okay, enough of the song lyrics. What else? Now, we mentioned Ed's film, Squid. Now, it's not Ed's film. He didn't write and direct it. That was some other blokes. But no. Ed and Josh Lawson certainly star in it.
Mm.
It's not a joke film. It's really on YouTube. Mm. If you're having trouble finding it, it may be because of the letter S.
It's a dollar sign.
It's a dollar sign.
Dollar sign, yo. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's street. It's very street.
Of course it is.
Playing in the project.
They've both got spiders in their ears.
Bang.
In every shot.
Every shot. The kids are getting into it. It's getting how many downloads there?
It's at 708 views.
And now other people have heard about you. Kate Fisher, now known as Katie Fisher.
Good move.
Has made a 9-minute film, which I think she's possibly written and directed. The Herald Sun in Melbourne today describes it as laughable for all the wrong reasons. Supermodel hot dog. That's the name of it. In it, Katie Fisher argues with a wannabe actor about which of the duo should dress up as a hot dog. The Aussie ends up donning a skin-tight red leotard and oversized bun before joining her two castmates in a song about hot dogs. Fisher, 33, has not appeared in an actual film since her tiny appearance in the 2003 Steven Seagal movie, The Foreigner.
Was she in that?
The Foreigner, yeah.
So she went dust off the wings.
Yeah.
Jetted over to the States to do some Seagal.
No, and before that,
that was before.
No, there's one South African horror movie called Crocodilus, a.k.a. Bloodsurf. It's a real film. A crocodile is killing people at the beach.
And who did she play?
Chomped Up Woman.
You'd be great as Chomped Up Woman.
So South Africa, then over to the States.
Good stuff.
And now back. Mm. A supermodel hot dog. It's on YouTube. You know, I mean, we haven't seen it. We're just reading this out of the papers. Yeah. It might be quite good. Have a look, see.
Mm.
But I hope it. Oh, no, it was the real thing.
There was the real thing.
An Australian movie where she's the blind sculptress.
That's right.
And she's knocking everything over in her sculpting studio.
In case she's blind, she's no way around.
Show me. This is
quite good.
All right. Mm. Like, we can talk.
Mm.
Have a look at our credits.
Okay.
No. Meat Pie. So many. I love that. The guy from Meat Pie is taking off someone from the real thing.
Yeah.
We've got to hear more about this film.
Yeah.
Meat Pie.
But the good thing is that the new scenes they've added,
the goat rooting scenes,
that's one of them. That means that there's no way it could ever possibly be shown on any screen ever.
Right. So the guy's shooting more scenes to prevent its release.
Yeah. It's a really interesting kind of theory, actually.
Yeah.
It's like taking a somewhat normal film, going back and going, nah. I know what'll get this off the shelf forever.
Yeah.
Let's get the real explicit kind of man and animal action. That'll bury this bad boy.
See, we've all, you know, Kay Fisher, you, I was in a film called Guru Wayne that never came out. Never came out. Richard Marsland.
I haven't been in any films that haven't been released. All my work sees its way through.
What's that movie where you're class wag?
Oh, Second Childhood. It's part of the More Winners series.
Yeah. Is that out on DVD?
Children's programming. I don't think it is, actually.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
So it's unreleased.
Yeah.
That's true.
There you go.
It was broadcast.
You have to be in an unreleased movie to work on this show. What about dodgy friends?
Yeah.
Everyone's got some dodgy friends.
Gifty buggers.
Are they being pursued by the piranha task?
No, the boss is after him. Get some tips.
All right, we're going to meet the dodgy mate next on Get This.
They deserve our support.
Thanks to the Nissan Navara, it's Get This around the nation. Good morning, everybody, if you're just joining us. And good morning, if you're listening in Rio de Janeiro.
Buenas!
We do.
That's Spanish. I'm Portuguese.
Yeah. Good morning. You could listen over the streaming on the internet.
In Rio.
Yeah, I don't understand how that works. We're getting emails from people in Rio saying,
Where's the podcast?
Yeah, where's the podcast? Because we took a week off. But they didn't know that.
No, how could they?
So they're just going, oh, no, massive podcast hole.
What am I
going to
do?
I'm scooped up. Nothing to listen to. Clearly is what they're implying. And these emails in front of me, well, it's back. Podcast number 80 is Stoners. Relax right now.
Oh, okay.
That bloke, Steve, who keeps emailing us wanting the IR laws sketch to be on. It is on there. Operational reasons.
What else you got?
Heffernan or Halali, that game show we played.
Love
that.
Russell Howard, who came in one day.
Russell Howard.
Excellent British comedian. Change for a dollar. Which films would be improved by the addition of Rodney Dangerfield?
That was unexpectedly successful.
Really? Good one, yeah.
That worked a treat. That's on their podcast, 80. It's free.
Really?
go to the Triple M website, or the website, or go to iTunes or whatever. Push the right buttons and it happens. Here's what isn't on there. A lot of people requesting this. Tobias from North Baldwin. Where's that Richard Marsland song?
Was he one? There's a lot of them.
Hey, boys, that's Alec Baldwin calling. The Skyhawks one.
No. The one Feel Like Making Love.
Oh, yeah.
That one. But because it has a fair bit of the real song in it, we can't put it on.
Until we get an orchestra.
Well, yeah. I can pop around and do it live.
If you could. Give you his address. But in the meantime, let's have some live music. What about the old electronic wobble board, almost Robbie Williams combination?
It's an absolute winner. Eyeliner on, everybody. See you in 3 minutes. 2, 3, 4.
Almost Wobble. Thank you. Mr. Robbie Williams.
Coming. Thank you.
Let's get this on Triple M and let's go German as we climb Talkback Mountain. Thank you, Kraftwerk.
Thank you, always, Kraftwerk.
Dodgy mates. Yeah. Everyone's got some dodgy mates. I see this over the weekend. Look at this. Another West Coast Eagle picked up a criminal record over the weekend. Burglary, the Ruckman, whatever that might be, admitted his role as a standover man during a violent altercation at a house party in Perth's southern suburbs in 2005. Spander man, the standover man.
That's good.
That's quite a character.
Good kids show.
Yeah. Maybe just call him the Spandover man.
Oh, that's good.
Is he, do they have characters? Like, see, I like the wrestling. You have a character.
It's easy to follow.
Yeah. Other sports should have care. I'd like to think that, sitting around a world poker to a table, you could have just someone in a giant scorpion costume. Things like that.
A stinger.
Why doesn't the AFL go in for more costume?
Very good idea.
Costume work. Villains, like on the wrestling.
Goodies and baddies.
Yeah.
Sort of Mr. Fuji type manager figures.
You've got the spandover, man.
Oh, hats hanging around the edges.
All right. Very good idea. We're on dodgy ground there. We don't know what we're talking about.
No.
Have you got some dodgy mates, Ed Cavalier?
Yes, I do. And it reminded me, my friend Hayden got back from overseas yesterday, and he very kindly had some hats. And he's like, does anyone want a hat? Here you are, boys. Just take them.
Oh,
very kind of, but it reminded me. When I was in high school, I had a friend that got back from overseas. He said he'd been in America.
Yeah.
And he had all of these, expensive brand clothing. And he just sort of laid out on his bed.
Right.
And he said, he invited us all around to just pick something that we wanted. So we all went around and we thought, oh, this is great. I'll have a Ralph Lauren jumper and a new beanie, a FUBU beanie. Being the homeboy that I am, it's a bit of filler shell tracksuit work. It's going to be fantastic.
Pantaloons
all around, an M&M bandana. And we took it all. And as we were leaving, he's like, no, you have to pay for it. You can pay cost, but you have to pay for it. And we said, that's fine. Until a few weeks later, all of the clothes started falling apart. And we said, man, what's going on? He said, oh, look, they're counterfeits that my uncle sells at a market in Sydney.
Yeah.
And I didn't think he'd mind.
Ring the mock bell. There's a lot of that about. My wife bought one of those fake Prada handbags. It cost about $1.50 in New York.
Got a snake in it?
No, but it's got the they show it to you on the display. And then when you say you want it, they reach down and they have the fake Prada logo under the table, blue tack underneath, so that the cops don't see it. And then when you buy it, they snap it on.
It's just really?
It's just generic until you buy it.
Really?
And then if they see the cops coming, the whole shop just folds up into their coat and they run up the street. I know that happened.
I've seen a man swallow a bag shop when he saw the cops coming. Incredible.
I had a dodgy mate in Auckland, New Zealand, who, and now this is the early 80s, so this is the pre-electronic tag, pre-video surveillance.
Oh, yeah.
So he would go into a shop, and quite a skinny guy, and he'd come out looking like the Michelin man with about 5 coats on. He'd just take them into the change room, put one over the top of the other, over the top of the other, and just sort of lurch, Laurie Oak-like, from the shop. And then years later, I saw him, and he's wearing a shirt, and it was this weird purple colour, and they'd introduced the dye bomb.
Yep.
The dye bomb had gone off, so he thought, I'll just make the rest of the shirt that colour, and then you won't notice. It's still a good shirt. That's an idea for a range of clothing. Clothing that looks like a dye bomb is exploded.
That's a great idea.
See everyone wearing them.
That's a very good idea.
Yeah, I'm going to write these ideas down. Wrestling characters on the AFL ground.
Yeah, that's a good idea. floating tag clothing.
Clothing. Tie-dye bombing.
Snakes in bags. Too many good ideas.
I like it very much.
Dodgy mates, Mr. Marple.
I've got a couple of dodgy friends who live overseas, and whenever they come to Australia to visit everyone as a bit of a holiday, they want to write it off on work expenses, so yeah. I've got to write some sort of, you know, very florid note about how closely we worked and
we had a think tank and a brainstorm.
It was one of the finest and most productive 13 hours of Xbox I have ever played.
For tax purposes, that's dodgy.
All right, yeah. Ring them up. Have you got some dodgy mates, people? What have they done? What was their scam? Will we be seeing it on Four Corners?
Oh, let's hope so.
Do you know Brian Burke?
Oh, hey. Are you going to tell me?
Oh.
There's a prize! Who's got some dodgy mates? Because, well, the Spanderman. We've got Carl Williams just filling with the wrong crowd. Poor Carl, let us stray. Who else has got some dodgy mates?
Hi, Andrew.
How are we?
Excellent, sir. Your dodgy mate.
Mate, I was living in Pasir in New Zealand. And a mate of mine got a jet hopper radio controlled car for his birthday.
Those are some good cars, aren't they?
Oh, they were great. But, because he was the only one who had one, he decided if he went in with the empty box, he could get a new one. And he did that about 15 times until we all got one.
Oh. So how does that work? He just goes in and says, when I got it home, there's nothing in there.
No, he'd just walk into the store with the empty box under his arm, type of the shelf, swap them over, walk up the full one.
Wow. See, nowadays with video surveillance, you couldn't do that.
No.
Oh, no, they'd pick him off.
Yeah. I tried to go into the Audi dealership with a cardboard Audi I made. Just drive out a real one. It busted me on the way out. It was unbelievable. Thank you, Andrew.
Not a problem.
Very dodgy.
I'm just worried that we're probably providing people with ideas.
Well, come on. They were going to think of it anyway.
It's too late now.
Everyone's done that thing where you go to a sports shop and you put the expensive soccer ball into the cheap soccer ball casing and buy that.
Yeah, I mean,
we've all done that.
I've all gone to Big W and picked out an expensive item and taken it back to the refunds area and said, I don't have my docket on me, but I bought this about a week ago and it doesn't work.
Exactly.
We've all done that.
Huh? Soccer ball, making a soccer ball to Duncan.
There you go.
Who's going next?
David, how are you?
Good, yourself?
Good, mate. You're dodgy, mate.
Yeah, I had a friend, and this is going back 20 years ago, he bought this expensive jacket that he really loved.
Yeah.
And instead of him washing it and wearing it, getting worn out, the jacket, he used to wear it back into the shop and just swap it over for another one and wear it back out again.
So whenever you need a replacement, just go in. Change up.
That's great.
And the people buying the old ones going, oh, this distressed look is fantastic. Hey, where are you calling us from there?
I'm driving a truck.
Yeah. Below the speed limit, of course.
Yeah.
Have the amphetamines kicked in yet?
Sorry on that.
Nothing, never mind.
Never mind. Thank you, David. Oh, lovely to see you.
Hi, Mark. How are you?
G'day. How are you doing?
Excellent. You're dodgy, mate. Oh, hello, mate. You're dodgy, mate.
Yeah, mate, I do got a dodgy mate. So I needed some artwork done.
Yes.
And a friend of mine who's an artist said he could do it for me. So anyway, he came up to me one day. I said, that's a great picture. It's a fish on the back of a chicken wearing a school tie.
Brilliant.
And paid him his $500. And then a couple of days later, we were all sitting down watching a movie, that Taps, the one with the kids in the military school.
Yeah.
And there it is on the wall of the posters on the wall of the kids' room.
Zero. Sorry, it's a dodgy panel operator on the show today. Hang on, so he'd stolen it from Taps.
Yeah.
I guess he figured no one would ever see that.
Wow. What a coincidence. Well done, Mark. Well, you may be the only person with a genuine Taps in your house, which would make it worth something.
No, part available to all.
There you go. Thank you, sir.
All right.
Hi, Evan. How are you?
Hey, you all right?
Good, mate. What happened?
Well, I'm going to make the next stuff off the other, mate. And then he'll take it around and sell it to you.
What? He'll give him something and then he'll sell it to other people.
Yeah, and then he'll come back and tell you that, oh, no, Mark's got it, so you got to go get it off him.
Oh. Make it worse. Doubly dodgy.
Mark's got it. So it's like when somebody, you know, you get a present from someone and it's still got the little label on it for the person it was for originally.
Yeah. You go round and round.
That's pretty dodgy. I don't think we need a task force for that one.
No, not quite. Greg, how are you?
Greg's being called to.
We've got
Mark.
The lawyers. Hey there, Mark.
Yeah, how you going?
Who's your dodgy mate?
Oh, yeah, my cousin's mum, she's pretty dodgy. What she does, she goes and buys stuff on special from Target and stuff like that.
Yeah.
She returns it and gets full price since she doesn't have the receipt. And she ends up getting like credit notes for about maybe $100 if and buys a son of PlayStation with it. So it never cost them anything for the PlayStation.
Elaborate. It works, though.
Yeah, and she also, another one, when she goes to a restaurant,
yeah.
She asks for a glass of hot water and smuggles little tea bags in and does her own tea in there and the restaurant.
Smuggle her own walk-in. She is literally saving $7 a year, that lady. Amazing. Thank you for the call, sir. Greg, are you there?
Yeah, g'day, fellas. How you going?
Excellent, mate. Dodgy mate of yours?
Yeah, it's actually my dad. He used to go around country Victoria selling turkeys in the pubs and that.
Yeah.
But they're actually boiler chickens.
And how did you sort of make them look like turkeys?
Well, they were real big bastards. They were real big ones. They he'd go around to all the places in Melbourne where they got all the frozen chooks, especially around Christmas time, and just pick out the biggest and ones that he could find. And he used to get chased out of all the pubs when he went the next year. It was quite good.
He just got him with a bike pump for a couple of minutes.
Yeah, he had one with three legs.
Oh, yeah.
Extra value.
He didn't charge
him
for the extra
drumsticks. No, he's good like that. He's good like that.
Well, I love how so many of these dodgy mates are actually members of the Caller's own family.
The turkey one is an interesting one.
Yeah.
Here's a turkey. It says chicken. It's a typo.
Rename the segment Crime School.
Yeah, we'll be playing Crime School again next week. Have your pens and paper up. Read in so many good ideas.
Get ready to go.
I'm not sure about this, but hey, I'm writing a few of them down. We're going to be joined in the next hour by somebody who, he's been filming something that may have the words Kath and or Kim in the title.
It doesn't make any sense.
I don't reckon we're going to find anything out, but we're going to talk to him anyway. It's Glenn Robbins.
And much of it needs urgent work.
Will come in during the song. Don't you worry. Now, Glenn, are you even allowed to say that you've been working on Kath and Kim?
There's a paparazzi waiting outside.
There's a sniper sitting up somewhere. I can see.
We were filming the other day in where was it? In Elwood. And there's a guy paparazzi.
Really?
There's a paparazzi. He's all about.
It's not real. It's not you.
Yeah.
So there's nothing you can tell us, really.
But, okay, just tell us this much. Dancing. Is Kel going to be dancing in this series?
I'm always good with Kel.
Nothing money to maybe a little bit around the house.
No big performances about if I can't say. Any lines as good as you'll keep Buble. That's my favourite line ever.
I punched him in the head.
Yeah.
I punched Michael Buble in the head. But that was an ad-lib punch.
that he went with. It wasn't rehearsed.
We didn't go, I'm going to punch you in the head.
Because it looked really full on.
Because there was a bit more music, I thought, what will I do with a bit of extra music? I'll punch him in the head.
Yeah.
And it stayed in.
Nicely done. And so I think he's got something coming out, because every paper you open is like desperate punny headlines. The boy in the plastic buble.
Hey.
They're trying just too hard.
Yeah. But no, I can't say anything about it. We're just finished, actually. But we had a good time. Hopefully it'll be fun.
Well, that's all. Out of the way. Now let's get down to our end of the pool. Let's talk nonsense for an hour with Glenn. On Get This. After the Style Council knocked them down. Thank you very much. John Mellencamp. Let's Get This. It's the second hour. And that voice you can hear is Glenn Robbins.
I don't know how I got it. I caught it someone on public transport, I think.
Oh, you caught it?
You can call it. And I remember thinking, I heard about this thing. I went, hang on, I think I've got that.
Yeah.
And I've had it ever since.
Because there's a movie out, Noise, Australian film.
I've seen it. Watch out for a young man by the name of Henry Nixon.
Really?
A friend of mine who's in it. He's fantastic.
Would you say?
Also a drifter.
In real life.
Oh, yeah. Drifted for 2 years.
Would you say it's the best Tinnitus movie so far?
There was a Rodney Dangerfield Tinnitus golf movie in the 80s.
Yeah.
Which was good. But this is up there.
You have it.
I have it, yeah. Most people who work in radio have it.
Right.
Yeah, sorry.
Do you have it, Rich?
Yeah, yeah. No, I have it. I've had it for about 5 years, and it only strikes me at night when there's no sound.
Yeah.
Can you make the noise?
See, mine's more about... Yeah. See, mine is like cicadas, buzzing cicadas. So I sleep with a fan on all night, and that you can't
hear it. I'm starting to hear wah-wah knee when I sleep.
Oh, that's serious.
Is it that bad?
Is it? Only if it's sugar-free.
Yeah.
But the early stuff, you're fine.
Yeah.
Okay, but what did you say Timothy's is?
Oh, well, I've heard that scientists, but also maybe it's partly an urban myth, that it's the sound of your ear cells dying.
Okay? Oh, great.
Yeah.
Good news keeps coming.
It's like the bug zapper for the cicadas.
Fantastic. That's great. What you've got to look forward to, Ed Campbell.
Yeah.
Now, Glenn, the Logies, I know it was a couple of days
ago,
but were you there? What was it like in the big theatre?
Well, I actually was in the room. I should say that because some time ago I thought, you know what? I don't think I'll go to the Logies this year.
Uh-huh.
I thought, you know, look, it's fine, but
not them.
Yeah, well, you know. So I rang up working John and I said, listen, Michelle, is there a invitation in my tray there at the Logies?
No.
Well, get back to him and tell him that I might come anyway.
Are you sure? It might have been addressed to Russell Coy.
Yeah. And then they rang and they asked me if I would present with Bindi, because I spent a day with Steve and the family, and they were wonderful, and I'd seen them a few times. Oh, it was on This Is Your Life and stuff. And Bindi asked if I would present with her. So then they invited me, and then they said, would you like to have a seat in the room? And I said, yeah, you know what, no thanks. So I did the award, then went out into the foyer, stood in the foyer for the whole night. And then saw people coming out and didn't know who won anything. And then, I don't know, I saw some actress and I went, oh, what's that? She goes, didn't you know I got best actress in a SBS bloody whatever it was. And, you know, I had to read the thing and it was a couple of words
again. In the foyer. Gee,
just going through the coats.
Because Pete Smith comes in. His chair was literally in the corridor a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I know.
You know, that's when you... You know,
there's two levels. There's the top level.
Yep.
If you're on the top level, then that's not...
There's a top level. I didn't even know there was a top level.
If you're down the front, the bottom level is, you know...
Where it's at.
That's where it's at.
Really?
Yeah. But the bit on the top level, they get
to get down. Is it the bottom level where I get to rub shoulders with idols and sort of home and away types?
Yeah,
home and away.
And your big wigs and your... Yeah, but up the back you've got your play schools.
Is there a section for our favourite breed of television personality discounters who do their own ads on the late night TV? You know, it's a dying breed.
It is.
And we were talking about it earlier. I mean, you know, wouldn't you like to see them all on a table? Just like with his twin sister Madonna, the parrot on the shoulder, the lounge discounter, the Car City guy with the eye,
dressed as his grandmother.
So
I got the best compliment I think I have ever had at the Logies the other night.
Yep.
I was standing at the door because I got to the door.
Now,
Carl
Stefanovic?
Yeah, Stefanovic. Yeah, from Channel 9 Today Show.
Mm-hmm.
Came over and was chatting just before the Gold Logie because I'd gone in for the Gold. I was interested.
Mm-hmm.
And we're chatting. And he said, look, and I probably shouldn't repeat
in a drunken conversation.
Yes, you should.
But he said to me, quietly, got to tell you, when I got younger, I used to do Uncle Arthur impressions to pick up girls.
Does it work?
But seriously, I mean, if you want to pick up a girl, is that
I know. Seriously, Uncle Arthur, right?
Yeah.
You'll never do that.
This one's a bit hard. I'll just, oh, boy, there you go. Oh, boy,
it's a fantastic night, and the woman wakes up the next morning, and Carl's gone, but there's a birthday card with an iron
inside on the pillow.
What a fantastic night.
Yeah.
Fantastic. All right, there's more to talk about, and we'll get to it all on Get This next. God, have that scene too. That's good, Charlotte, here. Get This on Triple M Around the Nation. Glenn Robbins is with us. We were talking about senators in your ears. Imagine having spiders in your ears, Glenn Robbins, growing in your ears. Kid in the States.
Hang on.
Yeah.
What do you mean? The spider's gone in there? And is it the old lathe megs and...
Yeah, nesting away. Be quite disturbing, but here's how the kid described it.
It was cool to have two spiders in my ear.
It was cool. It was cool.
Yeah. One spider's not cool.
No.
But I have to pay.
But that's a two spider. It's playground cachet. Mm. So there's always someone worse off. Other things that we talk about on this program, I'm sorry to drag you into this, but Steven Seagal, the martial arts instructor, yes, and film star.
And he has a picture of him on his wall.
Really?
Which put his arm around him. Yeah.
Gilbo's met him.
Gilbo's, yeah. You know, yep. Gilbo was on the singing with the things last night.
Oh, he takes two. It takes two.
How'd he go?
Real well.
Oh, because he can sing.
Yeah.
He can sing.
We often get reports of Russell Gilbert heard singing at the top of his voice at the traffic light at his car.
Really? What did he belt out last night, mate?
You've lost that line.
Someone will ring you. Sure. Someone will ring
you. Good luck to Gilbo. But has Gilbo got Steven Seagal's soft drink? We were joking about this. It's a real thing. Steven Seagal's energy drink. It's called Lightning Bolt.
Yep.
Steven Seagal's Lightning Bolt. And look at the catchphrase. Get charged. Yes. Arrest that man.
You would think it would be open up a can of whoop-ass.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's not a bit cool like that.
What? How much Seagal is in each can?
How much pure Seagal?
Have a look at the picture of him at the bottom, though.
5% Seagal runoff.
It's got a very... Oh, that's got some computer in it. Yeah, there's not much.
It's
way
of... more and more like Max Headroom
every time I see it. Not convincing up top.
No.
Whatever's going on up there. All right, enough Seagal talk. Glenn, talking of other movie icons.
Yes.
Russell Coit. I mean, is he still going? I mean, it's been a few years now. The show was never officially cancelled or came to a full stop. Will there be more?
We're not doing it.
Okay.
So it's very
ambiguous.
You can use that if you like.
Thank you.
It's kind of like if Tom and I get together and we kick around a few ideas.
That movie was good. That had a slightly different feel.
Yeah, there was a bit more vulnerability to Russell in that one. But look, I would love. I had a ball doing it. Yeah. Would love to do it again. There's part of me also goes, you know, by yourself out in the middle of the outback. There's only so many cows you can knock over. And
would he have to move into the city? Would he have to do an antiques roadshow? Would he have to be on another kind of a show? Maybe a theme park? Maybe a bindi?
Like a Crocodile Dundee goes to LA kind of feel.
Have a word to Tom.
Russell, what normally happens is I come up with about half a dozen ideas, and I go into the meeting with Tom, and Tom usually has about 120
ideas. There you go. Welcome to my world.
How many have you
got? Good, isn't it?
Get on board.
Oh, some coattails? I'll have some of those. Away we go.
I'm up back in the hayride just going, woo!
How many of those ideas involve you in a G-string, though?
Okay. That means, there would often be a situation where Tom would say to me, we've got a... 3-foot frozen crocodile, Glenn, what do you want to do with it? I don't know, how about Russell Coit gets bitten on the dick?
There you go.
Next day, I'm standing there in a pond in the middle of far northern Queensland with one of the guys from Props stitching a crocodile onto my groin.
There you go.
Job well done.
Now you've made it. Yeah. Welcome to show business.
Yeah.
We had Jane Kennedy was in here.
Oh, yeah. I listened to you. I listened to you guys yesterday.
Yes.
Yeah, she's sounding gross.
Yeah, yeah, great. Very relaxed.
But I've got to tell you, while I was sitting in the car, something happened that was a bit weird. Well, it wasn't weird. I like to call it domestic espionage.
Right.
I think you're going to be impressed with this. I was sitting in the car listening because I was going to go to lunch with someone. So I didn't want to go to a restaurant by myself. So I sat in the car. And I was sitting right next to the meter they have the parking meter.
Yes.
There's 1 meter amongst a whole lot of people.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting, and a girl walked up, and I know her. Because I did a movie with her a couple of years ago, but I can't remember her name.
Oh.
Which I hate. And it was one of those people I should know.
Yeah.
Straight up the bat. Yeah. Haven't seen her for 2 years, whatever. Yeah. Probably should, you know. So I can't start the car because she'll turn around.
Yeah.
I can't get out because she'll go, hi, Glenn, and I'll say, hi there.
Silly, this is X.
How are you going? So what did I do? I hit the deck. I'm laid down.
Oh, you did not.
No, it gets better. I hit the deck, and while I was down there, start the espionage music, I reach around, and I get my mobile phone, and I ring the casting director of the film.
Oh, no.
And I say, was the girl in the thing? In the thing? And she goes, no. Oh, here's her name. So, I've got her name. I'm wrapped. I'm just great. See ya. Bye. I'll tell you later, why. Bang. Hang up. Sit up. Got the info. She's gone. Damn. Can't say the name. She crosses over the road, goes into the restaurant that I'm going in. Got the money, can walk in there, she can say hello, I can bang the name out. Haven't seen you for 3 years or whatever it is, off the top of my head, there's your name, there you are, you're going to love me. Doesn't that, I don't see her, right? Can't see her in a restaurant. I go into pay and there she is on a table. And I'm, you know, looking over, moving around, talking loud. I'm getting nothing. I worked it out. She couldn't remember my name.
Oh. That is a great image. Lying down on the floor of your car, dialing a casting director. I thought only I got into that much trouble.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, but it worked great though.
Yeah.
Thank God for the mobile phone. And I got straight through. Bang, she knew. Job done.
That is almost a faux pas. I mean, it didn't get as far as a faux pas. And there was a lot of faux pas on the news last night.
Mm.
Let's talk about that,
thanks.
We've always got clangers to talk about on this show.
You know it.
Let's drop them next on Get This. Fine young cannibals here at Get This on Triple M. Get This brought to you by the Nissan Navara with its massive pulling power.
What
does that mean? You're saying we're a bunch of pullers in here, Mr. Martin. We certainly are. Well, we've got guests. Glenn Robbins is here.
Don't go near him. He's not worth it. He is a dirty man whore.
That's not very nice. Not sure what that was.
One of our callers.
It's now a ringtone on the Get This website. The ringtones are very popular. And I think the Jeff Fennec is still up there.
Yeah, that's a beauty.
The Rex Hunt is still up
there. That's a beauty.
And the David Dickinson is still up there. So many offensive ways to answer your phone.
Fantastic.
Let's talk about faux pas. Let's go French for a moment. What happened last night? George Bush, I didn't see the footage. Did he say something about the Queen?
Yeah, he mentioned that possibly her last visit was in, or maybe they've been friends. Or anyway, he mentioned the year 1776 in the British history, isn't so pretty. And then that was a faux pas, and then he looked at her and gave her a bit of a sly wink, which is breaching all manner of protocols.
Punched on the arm.
And it was a good day for the Queen as well, because then she met Mickey Reading, who kissed her on the hand as a bit of a greeting, which is,
But seriously, you can't do anything around the Queen.
No! You can't say the word toilet around the Queen.
You can't. What was it? Someone got in trouble recently because they were chewing gum at a function that she was at.
Absolutely.
Someone scratched their arse.
Yeah.
You know, the Queen was driving past.
Harry pulling bongs in the car park.
Yeah.
You can't chew any gum.
Exactly. Doesn't Harry, every time you see a photograph of him, you just go, mate, you're slightly close with yourself.
He's driving it.
He just wants to slightly, especially when he's got the war paint on.
He loves the war paint. I mean, he's so heroic.
As if.
All right. So the Queen, it's easy to offend the Queen. Sure, no one's done that on this show. Who else is in the faux pas news? Oh, Grant Denyer. What's he done?
Grant Denyer on a
very
interesting radio station.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't repeat the joke.
No?
No, I can't. I'm not going to. Otherwise, I'm Grant Denyer then.
That's true. Yeah, well, with your band.
Yeah, a lot shorter.
Yeah.
And then we had Steve Jacobs as well yesterday on the show. So what is the morning weatherman?
Do we have some of Steve's work here? Well, Grant Denyer seems like a nice enough bloke.
Lovely guy. We had him on.
Absolutely. So, I don't know what it was.
Something about making love.
Yeah.
It's a nice way of putting it, Glenn.
Yeah.
Clean that up nicely.
Well done.
This is Steve yesterday down at the museum, at the new Chinese exhibit at a museum.
Here we go. Down at the Melbourne Museum this morning.
Wow.
Yeah.
What's going on there?
Well, I think he's just, you know,
He speaks the language. He's a very multicultural guy. He can talk to all nations and all nationalities in a very gentle way.
Can we talk about women in just for a second?
Yeah.
Please. Sorry to do this.
No, we love it.
Something really annoys me.
Yeah.
When they go to the final map of Australia.
Yeah.
And they have, say I'm in Melbourne.
Yeah.
Right? Say I'm watching the Melbourne News.
Yeah.
Right? Say I'm watching the Melbourne News. They'll give all the other capitals. They'll give the, you know, Sydney, blah, blah, blah. But they won't give Melbourne on the national map. Like it's a Christmas present. Like it's really special. Then they go, and in Melbourne? I mean, okay, maybe.
Cloudy period.
Yeah. It's like they're holding off. You can put it up there now with the rest of the... Should I shut up?
No. See, I never get that far to the map because I'm just always waiting for the Channel 10 weather in Melbourne with Michael Arkin. And what's he going to be doing today?
And where's he going to be, man?
He's running out of stuff. I mean, he's actually been shot out of a cannon. Where do you go after that?
Spiders in the air.
Spiders in the air would be good.
Has he been shot out of a cannon?
I think someone told me he was in a cannon. I don't know if it actually was fired up.
He was doing bats last night, just going and checking out some of the bat population in the national park. And it's my time soon. These guys will be getting up and moving around. Anyway, checking the four-day forecast.
He's got to be doing stuff like robbing a bank while doing it. You know, give him more action. Give him something bizarre to be doing. All right, that's not the topic today. It's not FOPA ideas for wacky weathermen. It's, FOPA. I think you've obviously dropped a few in your time, Glenn.
Yeah, Mark Neal and I. Remember Mark Neal?
Mark Neal, correct.
Yeah, we went to the pub one night and we met some girls and they invited us back to their place and we, you know, buddy, buddy, blah. And Mark and I arrived fairly early with one of the girls and then one of the girls was in the other room and we looked on the mantelpiece and there was pictures of the girls with some really muscular-looking guys.
Yeah.
And I was saying, hey, who are these guys on the mantelpiece? I hope they don't come around. Then she came, she didn't hear what we said. Then she came in and said, oh, by the way, don't say anything about the pictures on the mantelpiece. That guy got murdered last week. Maybe it wasn't so bad because she didn't really hear it.
No.
Well, she kind of maybe she did.
Yeah. And for those who don't know who Mark Neal,
I messed it up.
Mark Neal was a stand-up comedian back in the 80s, probably still is a stand-up comedian, and then he showed up on Chances as the vampire. He was the vampire, and then he disappeared overseas, and I heard... And I apologise if this is not true, but I was told by someone he is in the Montreal production of Puppetry of the Penis.
Really?
He's got
that's correct.
Tackle. Oh, you think that's correct?
I'm pretty sure that
he's done a fair bit of.
Really?
He's done a fair bit of. I couldn't recreate the face that we just pulled. Okay, have you cracked a big fat faux pas? George Bush style, Mickey Rooney style. Give us a call, 133353.
Put Gucci into gangster.
I'm waiting for all the ad breaks to finish and every state is get this around the nation on Triple M. Glenn Robbins is with us and, well, you know our faux pas. They go to air every day at this time slot. Who else has got one? Hey, Brett.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Excellent, mate. What happened?
Well, I met my mum's new partner for the first time. This is going back probably 10 to 12 years when I was still a teenager. And he had actually had the lower half of his leg amputated in a motorbike accident. And hadn't met an amputee before. And in the back of my mind, I was saying, don't mention anything about the leg. So being quite a tall guy, I'm actually about 6'7", he said to me, are you still growing? And I said, yeah, I am. And he goes, what are we going to do? Put a brick on your head or something to stop you growing? And I said, no, just chop my legs off at the knee. The rest of his family and my mum just sort of stood there with their mouths wide open. And I just felt like I wanted to crawl into a hole in the ground and die.
Fair enough. Yes, well, and I actually have an elderly relative who is missing a leg from the knee down, and she's been known to take it off and throw it at mischievous children.
So it's a good look. I learned to play cricket with a guy who only had one leg, and we used to field him really close to the bat, and the batsman wouldn't know that he had a false leg. And they hit a full-on shot, and they think, oh, I'm going to run on this. And he just stick his leg out, and then they go, bonk, into his leg. And the pharmacist went on the dish going, what was that?
They're playing cyborgs. Yeah. That guy will be getting one of those smart legs that they've designed for cricket. That's what he'll be getting.
Thanks, Brett.
We are going to meet the rest of the clangers. They're lined up and ready to go. We'll meet them next time. Get this? That'll be the distinctive sound of Paolo Nutini here at Givis on Triple M. Glenn Robbins is with us. I think we all saw George Bush and the Queen last night. Who has dropped a clanger, Ed Cavalier?
Hi, Glenn.
How you going?
Excellent, mate. What happened?
Well, I was working at Caltex a few years ago, and there was this extremely large lady filling up with petrol.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to the other person working there, oh, look at that fat cow.
Yes.
And she must have been really quick, because when I turned around, there was a large lady there. I wasn't sure if it was her. I was like, oh, hi, how are you? And she was like, fat lady on number four, please. And I'm like, oh, no.
She's like, quick across the ground.
Even though she was a larger woman, did you still take the opportunity to go, hey, Chiquitos, $1.50 next to the cash register, some of them. What is it with that? Are you, you know, contractually obliged to point out the cheap chocolate bars?
No, they just put them there, and I just think some people are just wanting to get rid of them because they suck up. Mm-hmm. I never did it.
That's amazing, Glenn. But I always assumed that it was, you know, they sat down at the start of the day and they went, all right, we're really going to push the honeycomb Freddos. Two for a buck. But you're saying it's just some initiative that people are taking.
Yeah, it's really sad.
It is sad.
I used to sit down and read a book.
That's right, my friend. Not even a magazine, a book.
It used to be a lot tougher then. The actual attendant used to swipe your card for you. Now you've got to do it yourself.
You can do it yourself, buddy.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. You push credit.
Oh, come on.
Grab your card for yourself.
Got a schedule.
Yeah. Thank you, Glenn. Hi, Craig.
Yeah, g'day guys, how are we going?
Mate, we're excellent. What happened?
I was trying to hand my company phone in, and they updated, got me a new one, and I was having trouble getting the back off. And I just happened to be standing near the secretary at work, and she goes, oh, here, give it to me, I'll get it out. So she's fiddling around with her long fingernails, and she was quite, let's say chesty.
Yes, okay.
And I happened to say, oh, are they fake?
Brilliant.
Meaning the nails. She's looked up at me and yes, on both the counts.
Really?
Great.
Got to the bottom of that one.
Yeah,
well done, sir.
Because we just had the Cooper Enthusiasm music, and we were talking about this the other day, Glenn. Have you ever been in the situation where a female friend has got the fake Norgs installed and wants you to feel them?
You ever had that?
He's looking forward to that.
Yeah, I've never had that.
Have you had that?
Yeah, no, I've had that once, yeah. Before the Curb episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very strange thing.
Did you do it?
No, I didn't. I couldn't cross that line.
Really?
I'm just a family friend. I'm not going to be, you know.
Was it a party she'd thrown?
Come on, Ralph.
She should have recreated a realistic situation.
That is so true. Yeah.
Like, pretend that you're both standing at the bar waiting for a drink and her breast rubs against
crushes your arm.
That felt real.
Yeah.
Maybe a phone trip into her chest.
A wooga.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. We want you to report back on that experiment.
Hi, John. How are you?
Hi, guys.
What happened, mate?
Back in the school days with the handball game at lunchtime, and someone smacked the ball out and rolled down the hill and then landed at the feet of his kid with his back to us. I'm yelling out, hey, mate, chuck the ball. Did it about five times, and I thought, last thing I thought that was, hey, are you blind? And he turns around, and it's the only blind kid in school.
Similar to that when I was a teacher, there was a kid sitting
in
the front.
Teacher?
Yeah. And kid is sitting in the front row, and he was leaning onto his book with his face right on the page, going up and down like
what a sick.
Yeah. And I've gone, stop that, read properly.
Yeah.
And he goes, I have to read like this, so I'm dyslexic. I said, that's exactly right.
Reading properly.
Carry on.
Yeah.
Leave the room
and never return to teaching.
So, thanks very much, John.
Michael.
G'day, boys. So I've actually done the fake boob test, actually.
How did that go?
Quite well. In my other job as a DJ, I was asked...
Exactly. Wicked Wick.
Where are you playing? Where are you playing, Michael? Where can we
Where am I playing? You can catch me Friday night at the Erie Plains Sporting Club.
Yeah. And what's on the playlist, man? What do they want?
Actually, a lot of 80s rock.
Yeah. Do they hope for some Dexy's Midnight Runners down there?
A possibility. More likely, a bit of Radiators give me a bit of special action.
Tell us about this fake Norg test. Yeah.
The fake Norg test, I was doing a gig one night, and a bridesmaid came up to me and told me she had the op and sort of thing. What do you think? They're very nice. And she said, no, what do you think? And she grabbed my hand, and I actually got to feel the exhibits. And she asked again, what do you think? And I said, oh, they're very even.
And very nice compliment.
Well done, yeah. Left one's all right, not sure about the other.
Yes, but I actually, had a bit of a faux pas once a few years back, meeting a few friends at the local club. Got to the table, and one of my mates had this quite elderly woman sitting next to him.
Yes.
And I leaned over and I said to the mate who was next to this guy, and I said, oh, God, who brought Grandma with him?
Oh.
And they go, oh, Michael, have you met my new fiancée, Karen?
Bush Senior of attending functions with his mum.
I was at a golf day, and this woman came in. She was obviously just very drunk, and she's in my face about, you know, different stuff, and it was really quite offensive. I was standing with a group of people, and she was really rude, and she walked off, and I said, God, imagine being married to her. And he goes, I am.
Give him the music. And what's it like?
At this point, Glenn, but I think we have a call that might relate to you. Is Mark on the line? You there, Mark?
It's Mark here. How you doing?
What happened, sir?
Well, it involves Glenn Robbins. I'm a massive Russell Coit fan, and I've even actually got the Russell Coit theme song on my phone as an answering service. And I don't know whether he remembers, he was at the Princess Theatre with his wife coming out. And I thought, oh, this is a great chance to just say to Glenn, I said, how you doing? He goes, good, thanks. He just kept walking past. I said, mate, I loved you in, and I just drew a blank.
Oh, I couldn't remember Russell Coit. He just...
Wrestler would have come over.
So what did I say? Nothing.
You just gave me a bit of a smile and you just continued off into the night.
Yeah. That's all right.
No,
that's pretty good.
Glenn was worried that story was going to end a lot worse.
Yeah. I was really worried because
your headbutt's been thrown recently.
No, I'm just thinking I've done something to someone and I haven't known that I've done it. Now it's all going to come out on radio.
You do have such a difficult reputation.
thanks to everyone who called up with a clanger. We've got a song to play and then... I don't want to soil the atmosphere, but Peter Costello's going to be back. Boy, amazing here at this on Triple M. Almost time to go. Glenn Robbins has sat in for the whole hour. Glenn, the budget last night, did you come out on top? Are you a teacher? Well, you're an ex-teacher.
Mm. I don't understand. I remember the days when the budget would come out and it would be bagged up, beer down. Remember that?
That's true.
It's very simple terms. They go through all things that you can relate to. TV... up, electrical, whatever, yeah, up, yeah, down.
But now it's confusing.
Rebates and future funds and sink funds.
Well, I tried before the budget speech yesterday, I tried to speak to Peter Costello, and, you know, they do that thing where it doesn't matter what you ask them, they've got a catch rate that they want to get in. And he was pushing one of those at me.
Mr. Costello, I don't really understand the budget. Could you explain what you're going to do in layman's terms?
Well, the way I'd put it is this. The Commonwealth is not going to borrow.
Right.
We are not going to borrow.
Uh-huh.
Commonwealth government is not going to borrow.
No,
we're not going to borrow.
Uh-huh.
The Commonwealth government is not in the business of borrowing.
No.
And just in case you had any doubt, the Commonwealth is not going to borrow.
No.
We're not going to borrow.
Right. Now, you've thought about this?
This is a long-term issue. We've thought about this a lot.
And you've come to the conclusion that...
We're not going to borrow.
Right.
The Commonwealth government is not in the business of borrowing. We are not going tomorrow.
Now, what about after the election?
Well, I'm not going to speculate on what might happen after the election.
Right.
My focus is this week's budget, mm-hmm. and the Commonwealth is not going to borrow.
Right. I think that's been well and truly established.
Well, I'm just making the point that we are not going to borrow.
I know you are.
And that's what we'll be doing.
I know.
What we're planning to do here is...
Don't say
we
it.
We are not...
No, 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 no.
To borrow.
All right, just drop it.
Well, let me make this point.
No, because I know what it's going to be.
But
now, without using the words not and borrow, could you explain in simple terms what you hope to achieve with this budget?
I don't think so.
Oh, come on, come on, give it a go.
We will not.
Don't say borrow.
Spend.
Yeah.
More.
Right.
Than.
Mm-hmm.
We have.
Well done.
We will not borrow.
Oh, let's change tack completely.
Borrow.
Stop it. I hear you're going to be riding a float at this year's Gay Mardi Gras.
I don't think so.
No, I've heard you're wearing a military uniform but nude from the waist down.
I'll leave that alone if you'll pardon me.
No, come on. What do you call yourself again?
The Chief Steward of the Australian Economy.
Thank you, Mr. Costello.
We are not going to borrow.
hates it.